Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
We're going to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. It's going to come up on the screen. We're going to go verses 1 to 13. Thank you so much, Ian. It says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." I was cool with it. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, yeah, let's do it. But then it says, "Come, buy." But I ain't got no money. But this is just a prophecy about the compassion of the Lord, about our Savior, that He has paid the price, that He's the provider. We can come and He will refresh our souls. He will save our sin, and we don't have to pay anything for it because the price has been paid. So why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Verse 4 says, "Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts." This is God speaking. "My thoughts are not your thoughts." He doesn't think like us. He says, "Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, this is the part that we're going to focus on today, these next couple of verses. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." For just as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens, but do not return, but actually the rain waters the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God says, "So shall my word be that comes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will not return to me void. But it will..."
Excuse me.
Thank you so much. "But he says, my word will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. It will succeed for whatever reason God has sent the word that has come out of his mouth." See, there is purpose in God's word. There is purpose in what God has spoken. His word, this is His written word. This is His spoken word expressed in a written form. There is purpose in it. He says, it will not return void. Just like the water, the rain, it gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater. There's purpose in the word. Purpose in what God has spoken. It will not return to Him empty. So my question for you today is, has God spoken? Has God spoken? Has He spoken? What is it that God has spoken to you? He's such a personal God. We sat here and we read that whole chapter. All different verses, I'm sure. God spoke so many different things. Just in those 13 verses to you already. That's how big God is. He speaks to us through His word, and He speaks so personally. What has He spoken to you? What life verses have you got? When I talk about life verses, I'm talking to you whether you became a Christian last week, whether you became a Christian 12 years ago, 20 years ago. As you read the word, something will just resonate with you. Something you just want to hold on to, a verse when you go through tough times or whatever you're going through, you just go, wow, that really speaks to me. And for some, that becomes a life verse, something you just hold on to and you refer back to. It just comes back. It's in your heart. What are some of your life verses? Just think about that. You know, for me, I think of Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy. Who doesn't want some goodness? Who doesn't need the mercy of the Lord? That verse has kept me going for many years. And I think of Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. Oh man, that's been so helpful. Don't live by what you see. Don't lean on your own understanding. But actually acknowledge Him in all that you do, in all that is happening. And He's the one who makes your path straight. I think of Ephesians 2:10. We can just keep going all day, right? Your turn's coming, don't worry. You're going to hand this mic around. It says, for you are His masterpiece. He says, I am His workmanship. He's talking about you and I. It says that we've been created to do good works that He prepared in advance for us, for you, in Christ Jesus. These are some of my life verses. I don't know what's coming up for you in your mind. But has God spoken? See, God speaks. But the problem that comes is that we start to doubt what He's spoken. When things are not going the way that we think they were supposed to, the way that we think He wanted it to go. He speaks, but we doubt. Have you ever doubted His word? Have you ever doubted whether it was actually God? God says something and we just want to see it now. If it doesn't happen now, we start to question it. Whatever He's asked us to do, we disobey. He speaks, but we doubt. But just think about the rain. For as the rain and snow come from the heavens, so He says His word that comes out of His mouth. See, just because it's raining and the rain hits the ground doesn't mean that you're going to start seeing fruit. It doesn't mean you're going to start seeing plants straight away. There's this silent, slow work of transformation that God does in us. There's something happening underneath the surface. You know, the word is seed. the seed goes underground, goes into your heart, and God is doing something. He's getting us more rooted. He's doing something under the surface. But we're like, oh, I'm not seeing it. Did God really say that? Did God really speak? Because we want it now. What words has God spoken to you that you've given up on? What is it that God has spoken to you that you've started to doubt? He speaks, but we doubt. Have you got that on the screen? He speaks, but we doubt. Okay, that's cool. They doubted my slides, so they're not up there. It's all good. So when he speaks, what are we to do with what he speaks? What are we actually to do with what God speaks? We are to steward and nurture his word. So he speaks, but the problem is we start to doubt. We even know it was God, but then things don't go our way. So we start to doubt. But what we're actually supposed to do is that we are to steward and nurture his word. You think about his word, it's like water that's coming. It goes into the ground. It goes and it starts doing a work. But for us to nurture that word, the work that's happening in our hearts, what God is doing, we need more water. So we actually need to keep coming back to his word. We need the rain to keep coming. So in Isaiah that we read 55, 1 to 13, in verse 1, there's a fourfold invitation. And the invitation is the same. It's come, 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 come. It says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk. And then verse 2 says, listen diligently to me. So we need to keep on coming back to the word that he has spoken. We need to nurture it because the seed needs water. See, being in his word and his presence grows what has been planted. We need to stay close. Stay close. Stay close to God. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I have stored, I have hidden your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. I have stored your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. We need to store it. Those life verses, you got to memorize it. You got to write it down. You got to do something with that word. Store it so that you may not sin against him. Sin. We're all sinners. We've all sinned. We're all fall short of the mark of God's holiness. But as we have that transforming of the mind, the renewing of the mind, that's what starts to come out. That's the fruit we start to produce so that we may not sin against him. See, nothing else will ever really satisfy but his word, but his presence. Nothing else can satisfy but his word. We can't live by our salaries and status alone. I've tried. It's not enough. The salary will never be enough. We want more. The status will come and go. It's not enough. We can't live by our salary and status alone. We actually need to keep coming back to the source, to what he has spoken. And what Jesus says in Matthew 4 verse 4 is, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. This is what is to sustain us. The bread, Jesus himself, the word. So how are you stewarding the words that God has spoken? How are you nurturing the words that God has spoken to you? See, we need more rain. We need more water. We need more of his word. So daily, you can have a daily Bible reading plan. You can go on that app called Holy Bible on your phones, the YouVersion. They've got so many Bible reading plans that you can have. Some just be a 5-minute thing. For some, could be much longer. You can have yearly Bible reading plans, whatever it is, to get the word into you, because that word is going to produce fruit. The word is how God speaks. This is God's primary way of speaking to us. He speaks through people, but how are you going to know if he's really speaking through some dude just walking around the front, talking, saying it's God? How are you going to know that I'm really speaking the truth unless you know for yourself what's in his word? You don't need to know the whole thing straight away, but you just got to be a student of his word. A few minutes a day, growing to 10, growing to 15, growing to more. You just want to be in his word. There's lots of resources out there that can help. I love Stephen McCracken. He's a prophet, and he's got a daily devotion he sends out every day. He's been doing it for years, called Believing in You. I love that. There's so many that you can get involved in and as resource. But you know what I love the most? It's just coming in my time with God and saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to read today? Lord, what do you want to speak? And a thought will come to mind, and I don't even need to doubt it. I'll just go to it, and I'll just go to that chapter, and I'll read it. Whatever it is, you got to ask God to speak to you. Because we can say, oh, God's always speaking. Yes, he speaks through the word, he speaks through nature, but he can speak to me anytime. But for God's instant living word to be a thing for you, we need to know that he's instant, in the moment, and living word, whatever he's speaking to you right now, whenever, that will always correspond to his written word. It will always line up with it. So we need to steward and nurture his word. How do you guys hear from God? How do you hear his voice? How does he speak to you? Have you acted upon the last thing that God spoke to you? When he said, do this, do that, get out of this relationship, forgive that person, go say sorry to this person, own up about this. When he said, I want more of this from your life. They all sound like negative things, right? But he's got many good things. When he said, marry that girl, but you still haven't proposed. When he said, start trying to have kids, but you haven't started. These are just examples, guys. I'm not talking to anyone. I'm just saying sometimes we struggle to hear his voice because we haven't done anything with the last thing that he asked us to do. So part of stewarding what he's spoken and nurturing that word is acting on it. And what I love, when God asks us to do something, we don't have to do it by ourselves. He actually gives us whatever we need to be obedient. He supplies what he commands. He makes a demand on us, but as we step out, he's like, I'm with you. Let's go, let's do it. But it's just taking that step of faith. So has God spoken? He speaks, but we doubt. But what we're to do is to steward and nurture his word. His word is more than enough. It is more than enough. But what he's speaking. He is. Where did that come from? That's cool. See, someone was obedient to what the Lord told them, the last thing. And now God is speaking. But what do we do when the tough times come? What do we do? We know his word. We know he's spoken. But the challenges of life will come. They will come. You've been there. Some of you are there right now. I'm not looking at anyone. But guess what? Even if you're not there, they will come. Jesus said to his disciples, trials and tribulation will come. But he said, but I have overcome. So we're not to be troubled. We're not to be troubled. But what do you do when these challenges come? Because they become an obstacle to his spoken word. We're like, oh, we have a solution. We were doubting, but actually we're just going to nurture his word. We're going to steward it. We're going to memorize. We're going to put it in us. But then when times get tough, When people betray you, they disappoint you, the last thing you want to do is hear God's word sometimes. Don't preach at me. Just be with me. But what do you do when those times come? We're actually to hold on to his word in the tough times. Hold on to his word in the tough times. All we have to do, Yuma South, is look back to a couple of years ago, 2020 and 2021. That COVID-19 pandemic. Some think we're still in it. But I'm like, that's the past, man. But all we have to do is look back in that time. That was a tough time for everyone in the whole world. But what was God speaking before COVID-19? What was God saying to you before COVID-19? What did he say to you during COVID-19 pandemic? But what did he say to you after? See, for me, before the pandemic hit, I was overwhelmed by ministry, life, whatever was happening. I'm like, man, this is tough, God. You're stretching me. And I felt God just saying to me, trust me. That was the word for me. Just trust me. Give me your calendar. Let me just lead you. So that's where I was at. And then COVID-19 comes, like, what? I was struggling, and being in pastoral ministry, life just got a lot harder. Trying to call thousands of people. But then we're stuck at home at the same time. So much was happening. I just wanted to go for a run. But I couldn't even go for a run for more than 2 hours, because that's what I like to do. It's restricted to 2 hours. But God, in COVID-19 pandemic, was saying to me, stay with the basics. Just keep, go back to the basics of the word. And those basics were, trust me, I've got you, I'm with you. Let me lead you, let me walk with you. And God just didn't get me through COVID-19 pandemic. He grew me through it. He grew us through it. He transformed us through it. Then we come out to the other side of the pandemic. And it's like, oh Lord, what's happening? Life's too fast. There's too much to do. Because things, the pace just went up again. We weren't used to the pace. And God was saying to me, slow down. Haven't I taught you to just be in the moment? Haven't I taught you to trust me? Just trust me. So what I'm saying is God was speaking the same thing to me before the pandemic, during the pandemic, after the pandemic. Because God, he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. So he's always speaking. And all we have to do in the tough times is to hold on to his word. His word will not return void. It will accomplish that which he has purposed and sent it for. You know, when we go through some tough times, the enemy starts to lie to us. We even start to lie to ourselves about who we are. You're not good enough. You think you can impact other people. Look at what you've done. Look at what you're doing. Look at what you did last night. Look at how you messed up. Look at the relationship you're in. Look at the family you're in or you've come from. The enemy will throw whatever he can to lie to you, to stop whatever God is wanting to do in you. He will attack your identity. That's what he wants to do. He did it with Jesus. Jesus gets baptized. Next thing, the Holy Spirit sends him, the Spirit of God sends him into the wilderness. 40 days, 40 nights is fasting, and right at the end, the enemy comes and starts to lie. If you're God's son, turn this bread into the stones into bread. But Jesus hangs on to the word and it says, do not put the Lord to the test. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word. He just spits the word at him. He's just like freestyling the word. He's just giving it to him, to the enemy. Because he's saying, well, if you're God's son, Jesus knows who he is. You don't need to say, if you're this, if you're that. For us today, how much of God's word do we know to sustain an attack on our identities? How much of God's word about you? What does he say about you? How much do you know of what he says about you? That when the enemy comes, and he will come, because the word says the enemy is like a roaring lion waiting for someone to devour. He just prowls. He's just waiting. So he'll find the right time to tell you, you have no effect on the kingdom. So he'll just try to keep you quiet. But that's where you say, hey, I am a child of God. I am saved. I am redeemed. You tell him, I have authority. I am the head and not the tail. You just start to tell him the word. So how much of God's word do you know to sustain an attack on your identity? What does he say? What does God say about who you are? What does he say? So has God spoken? He is speaking. No matter what is happening in your life, God is speaking. No matter whether you're going through some good times, some tough times, what I want to share with you today is this. No matter what you're going through, God is in the business of fulfilling his word. He's in the business of fulfilling his word. He has spoken. He will fulfill his word. What do you mean God's in the business of fulfilling his word? Well, look at Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's word. See, when someone says, hey, I give you my word. I give you my word. Consider it done. They've still actually got to carry that thing out, right? Whatever they've said, I give you my word. They've still got to get it done. Guess what? God's given us his word, but he's already proved himself. He proved himself by giving us Jesus Christ. If you go to John chapter 1, you don't have to go to it now, but I'm just going to read it out real quick. John chapter 1, write it down in your notes if you're writing notes. If you're not writing notes, this is a good time to start. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God is in the business of fulfilling his word. He fulfilled his word through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So God is in the business of fulfilling his word. If God has given us everything in Jesus Christ, why would he hold anything back from us? Why would he hold anything back from us that's in his will, that's in his call for us? Why would he? He has fulfilled his word through Jesus. Romans 8:32 says this. I'm going to try to find Romans 8. Oh, here it is. I'm not hearing many Bibles, but that's good because you're trying to just get to the point. Romans 8:32 says this, I've got it for you. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. He who did not spare. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This is his word. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God is in the business of fulfilling his word. Have you seen God fulfill his word in your life? Everything? I love that. They're like, is this guy like a prosperity preacher or something? Nah, don't stress. Used to be. Not anymore. That's why I didn't get to preach back then. Oh, man. God is in the business of fulfilling his word. Has God fulfilled what he's spoken to you? You see, with Jesus, you see it in Matthew chapter 1. God's word is our foundation. Matthew chapter 1, this is what it says. Has God spoken? Matthew 1, 22 to 23 says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. God is in the business of fulfilling his word. You think about Joseph in the Bible, in Genesis. He was son number 11 to Jacob. He was a favorite. And God gave him dreams. Dreams that he would rule over his family. They would bow down to him. He shared those dreams. It didn't go well for him. But 17 years later, those dreams were fulfilled. James, brother of Joseph. Are you awake, James? Yeah, he is. Don't worry about James. I mean, Joseph. Joseph, 17 years later, steps into being prime minister. He steps into being second under Pharaoh. And what God uses him for fulfills God's word. He saves a nation. He preserves God's people when there was a famine. God is in the business of fulfilling his word. David gets anointed king. Once again, he wasn't expecting it. He was one of many brothers. No one expected him to be a king, but he gets anointed. But he didn't step into being a king or a leader in that way for years. God prepared him, but in the right time, God fulfilled his word because God is in the business of fulfilling his word. What has God spoken to you about that you're waiting for him to fulfill? For me, I think of those life verses that I mentioned before, and I just hang on to them. Surely goodness and mercy, trust in the Lord in all your ways. I'm his workmanship. There was a time for me when I was living in London. My wife and I, Candace, we were just about to return to Australia. And I needed to find a job. And I was still working in London. And I was doing like a three-day fast. And I'm just praying. I'm working. I'm at my computer. I'm fasting and praying. But I'm also looking at different job websites. Just looking and looking, getting consumed whilst I'm fasting. And then I sense God say to me, and the way I hear from God is I just start to write down stuff in my journal. And I wrote down, stop seeking the job. Seek me and I will lead you to your destiny. Went, dude, what else do I need? God's like, don't stress. Keep doing your work, keep fasting, but just focus on me, pursue me, and I'm going to lead you to your destiny. Man, that was 9 years ago. The stuff God did when we came back and how he's worked. And now I'm in what I know he was speaking about. I did not know what it would look like. But here I am. And God's continued to do things. God spoke. And he fulfilled what he spoke. What is it that God has spoken to you that you're still waiting for him to fulfill? For me, there's so much that I know God's spoken, but I haven't seen yet. For our church, Yuma South, there's so much. But it's so easy to discard what God has spoken because it just doesn't look like it. It's easy to disregard it. Don't discard and disregard what he's spoken just because it's not in your time. It's not looking like it's going to happen. Just remember, he speaks. At times we doubt, but we need to steward and nurture his word. And when the tough times come, we're to hold on to his word. A few years back, through a prophetic voice, God was like, for me, incurable diseases are going to bow down at the knees of Jesus. And I haven't seen that yet. Maybe there's people that I've prayed for and maybe they just haven't told me that they got cured. But I'm still holding on to that word because that's something God spoke. I'm about to get incurable. But that's something I'm still holding on to. For this church, one of the words on this church is that we are and we're to be a beacon of hope in a 20K radius. We're to be a beacon of hope in a 20K radius. This church, you guys, that's God's word on our church. There's been words on our church about this place being too small and us having our own building. God hasn't fulfilled that yet, but he's in the business of fulfilling his word, and it is going to happen. Over Numa Church Global, Mike Maiden, a prophet, said, in our 100th year, Numa's almost 100 years in 2025, that we would have 12 locations firing on all cylinders at 100% capacity. And Numa South, we're one of those churches. So look out, 2025. But God is speaking. He's spoken so many things. But we need to hold on to those things. We need to write them down. We need to keep going back to them. But what do you do when you see his word come to pass? Because it does come to pass. What do you actually do? It's like, oh, God just spoke it. Now it's happening. It's like we've been praying. Lord, we want to see salvations. And then people start getting saved. Lives were like, whoa, what's happening, Lord? Well, I said it. He said it. We prayed it. And then he's doing it. What do you do? You can easily go, oh, it's done. And you can easily just get comfortable and start to worship the very thing that has happened and forget about the one who's giving you the word. But what we're actually supposed to do when his word comes to pass is that we're supposed to know that there is more. We need to know that there is more and that he's just getting started. He's just getting started. Man, look at this. There's so much in the word. There's more revelation to come in his word. It's there, but more revelation for you and I to have. So much more of our eyes and hearts being open to what he's doing, to what he wants. His word says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has in store for us. There is more. He speaks. He has spoken. He's still speaking now. And why does he speak? He speaks to us and these things come to pass so that he can be glorified, so that we can point people to him. All the things that come to pass in our lives that he has spoken, they're so that he can be glorified, so people can be pointed back to Jesus. People can come to know him. If I could have the worship team come up. There is more, there is more. He's speaking. I encourage you to be a people that journal what God is saying, a people that speak to others about what God is saying. Don't keep it to yourself.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, numa.church. Thank you for listening.